is on, Mr. Chair.
All righty, we'll call the Senate Committee on Business and Transportation to order. This is February 8th, 2017. Welcome, everybody, to the committee. I'm going to start off with, do we have any introductions?
Oh, no, Mr. Chair.
We don't have any introductions, so we don't have to do that. So we'll start up and open a public hearing on Senate Bill 83. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 83 clarifies requirements for judicial review of orders issued by the Public Utility Commission. The measure has included with it in your packets the Dash 1 Amendment. The Dash 1 Amendment adds some clarifying language specifying that judicial review of an order may be only sought by a party to the contested case except as provided in ORA 774.180. That was the addition made by the Dash 1 Amendment. With the Dash 1 Amendment, Mr. Chair, the measure has a minimal fiscal impact and a no revenue impact statement, both issued. One other thing I should mention, Mr. Chair, this measure came to us from the Senate President with a subsequent referral to the Committee on Judiciary, the Senate Committee on Judiciary. It's probably because it has judicial review involved in there, Mr. Chair. So that's where the bill would go after it leaves our committee.
All righty. Mr. Grant.
Thank you, Chair Beyer, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Michael Grant. I'm the Chief Administrative Law Judge at the Public Utility Commission. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have about this bill. Senate Bill 83 is simply intended to fix an inconsistency in statute related to the judicial review of commission orders. As Chair Beyer knows, the appeal of commission orders has had a unique history. For many years, our orders were treated differently than orders from other agencies. Instead of being reviewed by the Court of Appeals, they first went to the Marion County Circuit Court for review. With the help of then Commission Chair Beyer and the support of the Marion County Circuit Court, we succeeded in getting legislation passed in 2005 to make the judicial review of our orders consistent with that of other agencies under the Administrative Procedures Act. Although the intent of the 2005 legislation was limited to the review of contested case orders, that is, orders that are issued after a formal trial-like process with an evidentiary hearing, we recently discovered that language in the 2005 bill inadvertently made all orders of the commission contested case orders for purposes of appeal. Mm. This includes orders that are issued after an informal public meeting process. Having the Court of Appeals review these informal orders is a problem because there is no evidentiary record or an order that contains findings of fact or conclusions of law for the Court of Appeals to consider. Senate Bill 83 is intended to fix that problem and fulfill the original intent of 2005 legislation to make the judicial review of our orders consistent with orders from other agencies. Thus, contested case orders would be reviewed by the Court of Appeals, and informal orders, referred to as orders in other than contested cases, will be reviewed by the Marion County Circuit Court. Finally, we added a Dash 1 amendment to address an issue raised by the Citizens Utility Board to confirm that CUB retains its statutory authority to challenge any contested case order, even if it was not a party to the proceeding. There is no known opposition to the bill, and again, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
It's a good clarification. It looked like you were just changing wording.
That's all we're doing.
Any questions of Michael? Easy enough. I noticed you've got a new logo, huh?
Yes. Hmm. Yeah, our new Chief Operating Officer, Mike Doherty, is responsible for that. And
uh-huh.
Very, very proud of it. So.
All right. Any questions? Seeing none. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who wishes to comment on this bill? Seeing none, we are closed public hearing. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 83. You want to do that? The amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move to adopt Senate Bill 83-1 amendment dated 2-6-17.
Senator Thompson has moved the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 83. Discussion on the motion. Is there any dissent on the motion? Excuse me. Seeing none, those are adopted. Senator Thompson?
I move Senate Bill 83 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Judiciary by prior reference.
Senator Thompson has moved Senate Bill 83 as amended by the dash ones to the floor of the due pass with subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Discussion on that?
I actually have a question for staff. And maybe they just need to read Senator Courtney's mind, but why did we get the bill if they're going to send it to the judiciary?
Mr. Chair, if I may.
You may.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rod, because it covers both the PUC and the court system, I suspect it's because that's why it allows multiple committees to get their fingerprints on it. But
we get the PUC side, they get the court side.
Yes.
I thought it wasn't necessary to, but then I'm not Senate President.
Not a problem.
Okay. So, Chair, any further discussion? Senator Monroe?
Yeah, you inadvertently said to Ways and Means instead of to Judiciary.
Oh, I did? I thought I said Judiciary.
No,
well,
you said
to be clear, then, the subsequent referral is to Judiciary. I'm ahead of myself. That's a different bill. Any further discussion? Is there any opposition? Seeing none, Senate Bill 83, as amended by the dash ones, is moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a subsequent referral to Judiciary. And closed on that, we will open on Senate Bill 84.
Are you ready for me, Mr. Chair?
We're ready. Go
right,
for it.
So Senate Bill 84 is also from the Public Utility Commission. It allows the surcharge collected for purposes related to the protection for residential services and assistance for persons with disabilities to paying customers who have interconnected voice-over internet protocol services. The measure has no amendment. It has a fiscal impact and a revenue impact statement that have been issued. Those are both on OLIS and in your packets. And in light of the budgetary impacts of it, the measure has, the LFO has requested that the measure be referred to Ways and Means, Mr.
Okay.
Chair.
Welcome, John.
Thank you, Chair Beyer and members of the committee. For the record, my name is John Cray, and I'm the Residential Service Protection Fund, also known as RSPF, Program Manager at the Oregon Public Utility Commission. The applicability of the RSPF surcharge to subscribers of interconnected voice over internet protocol service is ambiguous. Senate Bill 84 is designed to clarify that the RSPF surcharge does apply to subscribers of interconnected VoIP service like it does for landline and wireless subscribers with access to the Oregon Telecommunications Relay Service. Senate Bill 84 also mirrors existing Department of Revenue statute because the laws for both E911 and RSPF are similar. The 2014 Oregon legislature recognized that landline and wireless subscribers were also subsidizing interconnected VoIP service subscribers' access to 911. As a result, House Bill 455 was enacted into law, authorizing the Department of Revenue to assess the E911 tax to subscribers of interconnected VoIP service. Also, some interconnected VoIP service providers already collect and remit the RSPF surcharge, and Senate Bill 84 will result in the equitable treatment of all interconnected VoIP service providers in Oregon. The surcharge is currently 7 cents per access line and has been reduced from 12 cents over the past 5 years and is significantly less than the statutorily maximum of 35 cents. Although the Department of Revenue and the Public Utility Commission exchange and compare data provided by companies that collect and remit the E911 tax and RSPF surcharge from their customers for reconciliation and enforcement purposes, the Public Utility Commission has not engaged in compliance efforts due to statutory ambiguity. Senate Bill 84 resolves this issue. The Public Utility Commission urges you to pass this bill, a fair and equitable measure in which all subscribers, including subscribers of interconnected VoIP service with access, support the Oregon Telecommunications Relay Service. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on this bill. I welcome any questions or concerns you may have.
Thank you, John. This is a really great program. with very low cost for everybody. Questions on the bill? Seeing none. Thank you. And let's bring up Sam and Brent Wolf at the same time.
Me first?
Sure.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Samuel Pastrick, and I'm a consumer advocate with Oregon Citizens Utility Board, or you folks probably better know us as CUB. CUB is a statewide advocacy organization for residential utility customers. More often than not, our legislative work, more often than not, we're in the building to target protections for customers of investor-owned energy utilities. Yet, we also have a very real stake in advocating for accessible and affordable telecommunication services. Senate Bill 84 would clarify that the application of the Residential Service Protection Fund also applies to interconnected voice over protocol, voice over internet protocol subscribers, VoIP. CUB thinks, really, this is just good policy. There currently exists some statutory ambiguity, as John said, as to whether VoIP subscribers with access to the Oregon Relay Service can be assessed a Residential Service Protection Fund surcharge. Senate Bill 84 would clarify this ambiguity by promoting competitive neutrality among providers of landline wireless and interconnected VoIP services and improve equity among those customers subsidizing access to the Oregon Relay Service. Therefore, CUB strongly urges your support.
Thank you. Brian?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Brant Wolf. I represent the Oregon Telecommunications Association, and just by way of reminder for the committee, our association represents facilities-based, landline-based telecommunications carriers. We don't represent wireless carriers or the cable industry. Our members support this Senate Bill 84. This is the direction the industry is traveling towards, VoIP systems versus the old twisted pair of copper lines in your home. We support this principally for the reason that the more, as that transition continues to occur, then it will keep the surcharge low as those VoIP customers are replacing the copper pair of lines. So that's really the end of my testimony. We support it, and we urge your support as well. I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Pretty much all telephone services is pretty much digital now.
It's heading that way. That's a fact.
No more. Any questions of the two gentlemen? And thank you very much.
Thanks.
That's all I have signed up. The wireless carriers want to comment at all? Anyone just sat there? Just sat there. Okay. Anybody else? Seeing none, we will close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 84. And
I think I got that one because you're supposed to go to Ways and Means, right?
Yeah. Yep. Subsequent.
I move Senate Bill 84 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. A subsequent referral to the Joint Ways and Means Committee.
Senator Thompson has moved Senate Bill 84 to the floor with a due pass with a subsequent referral to Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion. Seeing none, is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, Senate Bill 84 is moved to the floor with a due pass with a subsequent to Ways and Means with unanimous. We're closed on that. We will open on Senate Bill 85. Patrick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 85 modifies the membership of the Telecommunication Devices Access Program Advisory Committee. It's administered by the PUC. The measure comes to us with no amendments, no fiscal or revenue impact, so this measure will not have a subsequent referral, Mr.
Great.
Chair.
Welcome again, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Beyer and members of the committee, for the record, once again, my name is John Cray, and I'm the Residential Service Protection Fund Program Manager at the Oregon Public Utility Commission. Senate Bill 85 is designed to change the composition of the Telecommunication Devices Access Program, otherwise known as TDAP, Advisory Committee. Existing statute requires a 12-membership committee specifically comprised of 7 individuals who are deaf or hard of hearing, 1 who has a speech disability, 1 who has a disability, 1 professional in the field of hearing, speech, or other disability, 1 member of the Public Utility Commission, and 1 telecommunications industry representative. However, the advisory committee has not had a full membership in 7 years, despite recruitment efforts that included but was not limited to advertisements and outreach to disability-related organizations. Also, the advisory committee in 2009 amended the bylaws to reduce the term from 4 years to 2 years and to host meetings biannually instead of quarterly to attract potential volunteers, but membership only averaged 8 individuals. The Public Utility Commission proposal to reduce the size of the advisory committee is based on the 7 membership requirement for the Commission for the Blind. Senate Bill 85 modifies the composition of the advisory committee to consist of 3 who are deaf or hard of hearing, 1 who has a speech disability or other disability, 1 who has a vision impairment, 1 professional in the field of speech, hearing, vision, or other disability, and 1 telecommunication industry representative. The TDAP advisory committee supports this bill. The Public Utility Commission urges you to pass this bill, which provides for more balanced representation of Oregonians with disabilities and allow the advisory committee to have sufficient membership. Thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony on this bill. I welcome any questions or concerns you may have.
Thank you, John. Questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I have same two. Brent and Sam.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Brant Wolf with the Oregon Telecommunications Association. I'm really here to support John on this matter. He asked for our support on this, and we'll give it to him. As the individual has represented the industry on this committee for 17 years, it makes complete sense what he's asking to do. I can testify to the fact that it is difficult to find people to serve. So this is, I think, the right thing to do, and we support him.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, committee, again, for the record, my name is Samuel Pastrick. I'm with CUB. Similar to Brant, you know, I'm here. And CUB is here to support John. I think this is common sense. It's a good policy, good idea.
Yeah. Gentlemen, any questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else who wishes to testify? Guess not. We'll close the public hearing. We'll open the work session on Senate Bill 85.
Mr. Chairman,
yes.
I move Senate Bill 85 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Senator Thompson has moved Senate Bill 85 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, Senate Bill 85 is moved to the Senate floor with a do-pass recommendation, and I think I need a carrier for that. I'll carry it. And we'll close. And I think, Patrick, that takes us to the end of the agenda.
It does, Mr. Chair.
That's a quick meeting. Anything?